back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a punch it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here alongside my podcast partner in crime as always, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going well. We finally have some good news to talk about when it pertains to the Flyers, and we have a lot of other stuff to talk about as well for our Around the League segment. So a little bit more packed episode tonight than it has been the past couple weeks or so, with the playoffs winding down, Game 4 of the Lightning and Avalanche Cup Final Series tonight at 8 o'clock on ABC. The Lightning obviously winning Game 3, spoiler alert, 6-2, making it a series, 2-1 series in favor of the Avs still, but Game 4 tonight in Tampa Bay, and it should be a good one. I think Game 3 was a must-win for Tampa, and they got it done, but we'll see what happens tonight. We'll talk about that soon, but Dave, like you said, first we have huge news, I'd say, on the Flyers front that happened just last week. The Flyers do have, do you want to take this, or you want me to get her going?
If you're rolling, dude, roll right into it.
Sounds good. The Flyers named John Tortorella the 23rd head coach in franchise history on the 17th, which was last Friday. So this past Friday. I mean, you talk about, I guess just off the cuff for me, I think this is an awesome hire. We've seen Torts with other teams. He's been criticized with player development and not having good player relationships. But, I mean, the guy's got 20 seasons under his belt as a head coach. He's got 1,383 regular season games with Tampa, the Rangers, Vancouver, and the Columbus Blue Jackets. The guy, he obviously won the Stanley Cup. I guess you can say that's a long time ago now in 04 with the Tampa Bay Lightning. But other than that, he's gone to, again, the franchises that he's coached, and he's brought them to a different level to where they were at previously before him, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And we saw that most recently with the Columbus Blue Jackets back in 2015 to 2021. So, I mean, and he did admit, I think, in his press conference that he stayed there a little bit too long, where he was there for six seasons and then gave it one more season. He talked to Kekalainen, the GM of Columbus, and was like, I'll stay. And then obviously kind of lost, I guess you could say lost touch, for lack of better terms, mm-hmm. with the team. And they decided to part ways after the end of that season. But he's been out of the game for a while. Was on ESPN with On the Point just last month, I would assume. I didn't get to watch most of that because it's on at a weird time in the afternoon. But now he's back in the NHL, and he is the head coach of the Flyers. I think he's going to be able to kick this team in the ass, to be blunt about it, where he's going to hold these guys accountable for their actions. Hopefully, again, I mean, he's already said he had his press conference just a couple days after he was hired, and a lot of those quotes hit home. But I think mostly for me, he said that he's going to make the Flyers, and this is paraphrasing, but he's going to make the Flyers a harder team to play against. And that's the biggest thing that we need out of this franchise at this point, where they have to be just, again, he even said, again, paraphrasing, I want them to be look tougher coming off the bus, that sort of thing, where this team needs some, they've gotten a little bit better, but they need backbone, and they just need some balls pretty much. And they've gotten that, from guys like Risto, from McEwen, a couple other guys too. But I mean, again, they just need to right the ship. And this is definitely a very good step in the right direction. for a guy like Torts, because, I mean, if you don't know his reputation with the media, with players, he's going to just kind of, if you put it in his face, he's going to put it right back into yours. We've seen that with, Steve Brooks from the New York Post, mm-hmm. when he was with the Rangers. Him and Brooksy, as they call him, would get into it in the post-game meetings. So, I mean, I think, again, this is a great hire, and it's just, again, it's exciting to see a step in the right direction, hopefully, for this franchise and a guy like Torts who already knows Atkinson, Hayes. I'm trying to think. That might be it on this current roster. But
I think he barely knows Hayes.
Yeah.
So I think Hayes just came to the Rangers as he was leaving. So.
Yep. But again, I mean, he has all summer to kind of contact the players, get to know them. And then, I mean, it's going to be – I'm already excited for training camp because we'll have – I mean, it'll be his first training camp. He'll work the guys' asses off, I think, or at least I hope. And then on top of that, obviously, we had Fedotov sign. So it's like hopefully he makes an impression. So it's kind of – I don't want to get ahead of myself as we've done in the past, but – what's happened so far is setting the Flyers up to get back on track.
Yes.
And a lot of other things have to go right, and a lot of other things have to happen for that to come true. But I think the right things, at least coaching-wise, I mean, this was gonna turn into another dumpster fire with this franchise where, I mean, we were talking about, it was brought to our attention that, like, I don't even know who it was. Someone was like, oh, Fletcher doesn't even like Torts or like vice
versa. It was
like
a rumor.
Yeah.
It was like a Twitter rumor, and then media got a hold of it, and they asked him. He's like, that's completely false.
Yeah, and then there was the whole thing about, oh, the Flyers hired an outside firm to do the coaching search, and it's like, what's the problem with that? Like,
none.
Yeah. there was a lot of talent to choose from now they're only – three or four teams without coaches, because there's been a few other hires that we'll get to as well. But there was a very good crop of coaches to pick from. The Flyers did their due diligence. They had interviews. They had second-round interviews, third-round interviews. They did their homework, so to speak, with the coaches that were available to them. And, I mean, would we have wanted Barry Trotz in a perfect world? Sure, but...
apparently the Flyers offered him a contract.
Yeah.
For 4 years at $7 million a year, and he turned it down.
Yep. But, I mean, we've got Torts at 4x4, I believe.
Which is awesome.
Which is fine. But, again, we just need someone who's going to give this team an identity again and again to kick these players in the ass, to get them going, to get them fired up, to think about, all right, we're not going to take – excuse my language – we're not going to take any shit from anyone, or we're going to get bag skated by Torts. So yeah. It's like – he's going to almost be like the, is it better to be loved or feared or both sort of thing. But I think, again, he's one of, if not the perfect candidate to, again, just kind of wake this team up and to change the culture in the locker room, on the roster, and in the organization, at least, to kind of be like, kind of snap them out of whatever the hell this nightmare has been the past 2-3 seasons now. So it's a great hire. I'm excited. Torts, I mean, doesn't play. Doesn't mess around. I've seen a couple great photos of him with a mustache when he was younger. Maybe he'll bring that back. That would be electric. But, again, I'm excited. And as I was saying on social media, it's officially Torts season. So get hype. Get excited. And it's Torts time. Torts season. Time. Torts time. So, Dave, after all that, I'll hand you the talking stick. Your thoughts on Torts?
I'm very excited. I know in the past I have had some gripes with John Tortorella and his coaching style. But like you, Matt, I really think he is the coach that is necessary for this team and organization. And he's, you know, so far he has said all the right things in all of his media availability and on Flyers Daily with Jason Martinez and his press conference. He really knows that the fan base is not happy with the organization and the direction the team has been going. I can tell you this, you know, based off of knowing how Torts has coached and knowing the fact that the Flyers were in for one heck of an offseason, considering they want to retool in the next year. You know, we don't even know what moves are going to be made yet. You know, there's so many things that could happen. But just based off of the hiring of John Tortorella as the head coach, the Flyers will be a better team than they were last year. Now, I'm not saying they're going to be a playoff team or a Stanley Cup contender. I'm just saying they're going to be better. And only time will tell what that better is. It's all going to depend on the moves that are made this offseason, how the team stays healthy injury-wise next season, you know, how the power play and penalty kill are. All those intangibles play effect, you know. If they bring in a Johnny Gaudreau in free agency or another big name, you know, or there's a big trade that happens, you know, if Ivan Fedotov and Carter Hart are this amazing goaltending tandem that, you know, wins the Jennings, it's the Jennings that's the award for best, yep, the lowest goals against average as a goaltender or goaltender duo. You know, I'm excited. I'm also excited. Tortorella, you know, he's gotten a knock for being bad with younger players earlier in his career. But when he was with Columbus, he really helped Zach Werenski and Seth Jones grow into the players into their prime that they were. Now, granted, Seth Jones has taken a bit of a step back since moving on to Chicago. But for a couple of years there in Columbus, Werenski and Jones were lights out awesome. And Torts also does a really good job with his system developing goaltenders. You know, it doesn't hurt that, you know, when he was in Tampa Bay, he had Nikolai Habibulin, the Bulin Wall, as they used to call him, in net. And then he goes to New York and he has Henrik Lundqvist. Then he goes to Columbus and has a combination of Bobrovsky and then also after Bobrovsky, they get Elvis Merzlikins. Mm-hmm. You know, so everywhere he's gone, he's had really good goaltenders. And now you've got him with Carter Hart. And I'm really, really excited about seeing the steps that Carter Hart can take with Torts as his head coach and his systems. Because everywhere he's gone, mm-hmm, goaltending and defense have what has been his MO and has made him a successful head coach. I mean, he's second all time in wins as an American-born coach. That's not a bad thing. Like, he is a proven credible, you know, he's credible. He has the credentials. He's been there. He's done it. He's walked the walk, and he's a Stanley Cup champion. And I'm also really excited about him working with his defense. I think if there's any head coach out there that can wake Ivan Provorov out of whatever terror sleep he's been in the past couple of years, it's John Tortorella. And also, you know, he's going to help Travis Sanheim take another step. He's going to help, you know, Ristolainen maybe make more steps in his career. You know, whatever, Ryan Ellis, if he's healthy. You know, overall, this is going to be awesome. And I think the fact that you have Cam Atkinson here is really going to help the team in this locker room. And I could see Joel Farabee flourishing. You know, Torts has always coached these under, like, if you are a player, you might not be the most skilled in the world. But if you go out there and you go balls to the wall every night and you give your damnedest, you're going to succeed under John Tortorella. And if you're a skilled player that adds on those intangibles to your games, like to your game, like Cam Atkinson did in Columbus, you saw what he did in Columbus with Torts and how he took that into Philly. I mean, who knows? Maybe Cam Atkinson gets the C now because, you know, Torts in town. You never know. But no, would have been cool to have Trotz. Yeah, because he was the top ticket. You know, it sounds like he's either going to Winnipeg or he's taking the year off. But Tortorella, he was my second choice. I think this is a fantastic hire, and I really think the Flyers are going to be better. How better? Yeah. We'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think if you can kind of sum up his coaching style in one phrase, it would be tough love. Where, yes, he's not going to be afraid to bench a guy for one mistake. But that's almost kind of a good thing because you want these guys who have struggled the past 2 years or so to be kind of pissed off.
And they hold themselves accountable.
Play pissed off, hold themselves accountable, which in turn makes them better. Where, again, like you said, it kind of wakes them up from the funk that they've been in the past couple seasons. Where, I mean, hell, we've seen Provorov and Konechny most notably kind of regress as players instead of progress.
Badly regress.
And it's been like, again, like Provorov almost looked like he forgot to play forgot how to play hockey when Matt Niskanen retired, and he didn't have Ryan Ellis next to him. But like, he's supposed to be a guy like a Matt Niskanen or a Ryan Ellis as he gets older.
We drafted him to be our franchise number one defenseman.
Exactly. And I hate to bring this up, but it's like the guy is better at making TikToks than he is at playing hockey lately. Like, so, yeah. I mean, I think, again, Torts is going to come in kind of like just kind of hopefully snap everyone out of this thing. He's going to just kind of bring this group together. Not that they weren't already a cohesive unit, but there's got to be, again, and we've been saying this ad nauseum for the past two seasons now, where there's got to be a culture change within the locker room, within the organization. And I think, again, like we've both said, Torts is that guy where he's just going to kind of come in, again, excuse my language, but he's not going to play any shit, and he's going to kick these guys in the ass and light a fire under them. And hopefully, again, he'll make this Flyers team tougher to play against. He'll implement his systems. He still has to pick assistant coaches, so mm-hmm. we'll see who gets named the on the bench further down the road here in the offseason.
And I hope Chuck Fletcher lets John Tortorella pick his own staff.
Yes.
Unlike what he did with Alain Vigneault. And the other thing that excites me about Torts too, Matt, real quick, is about how Torts has said that he also wants to come here and he looks forward to building the person. He doesn't just care about the X's and O's and the hockey. He actually, when he comes to a city, he embraces the city's culture and he works on building the people and the hockey player, and which I think is a different. I don't really think the Flyers have had a coach like that probably since Lavi.
Yeah. And I mean, kind of Laviolette was the same way, where he wasn't afraid to rip into the team. We saw the 24/7 clips of him getting pissed off where he was like, play with some effing jam, like all that. So
he saw some great clips from Torts.
Save
our
F-bomb for, yeah. But I mean, even Torts was on 24/7 at points. It was the same when the Flyers and the Rangers played in the Winter Classic. Or it was what, the Rangers and the Capitals? One of those where it was the Flyers.
It was Flyers, yeah. Rangers.
So he came in, obviously, like he's mother effing the team and all that. And then he even got mad at the film guy at one point in the one clip. Like, he doesn't play, like, again.
I think
he
that was Mike Babcock in the Toronto Detroit.
I thought, no, it was Torts that got mad at the film guy.
I mean, I know Babcock did. Maybe Torts. I mean, I'm not surprised if Torts did, but I know for a fact. I remember that scene vividly with Babcock getting mad at him.
Yeah. But again, he's not going to play any games. He's all business, as they say. And again, I think the biggest thing is just to light a fire under this team and to, again, you kind of almost like a phoenix where you burn the toxicity out of this organization and then you start anew from the ashes and you build back better. as old Joe Biden would say.
Yes, yes.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's exciting. This is hopefully the first of at least a handful or so of steps in the right direction that the Flyers, again, this aggressive retool that we've all been promised, this is a good start. And now you have your head coach. Again, like you said, Dave, I think Fletcher should let Torts pick his staff as well. And then Fletcher can focus 100% on the personnel on the ice, make a couple trades, a couple free agency signings. We'll see
what
happens.
Big draft coming up.
Yeah, I mean, the draft is only 3 weeks away, give or take. So, I mean, it's going to get busier here as, obviously, the Cup Finals winding down with Game 4 in just under an hour. So, it's going to start to get real again, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So, but for now, the Flyers have their coach. One less thing to worry about for Flyers Twitter and for the fan base. And we go from here. We ride this high until hopefully we get the next one.
Yep. It's like you said, the checkbox for us Flyers fans for what we wanted to see them do this offseason was check one, hire good head coach.
Yes.
We can all check that off on the list, I would say.
Yeah, and I mean, you could even put the signing of Fedotov as like almost like a little sidebar checkbox.
Yeah.
like almost like I'm trying to think of, I don't know. Yeah, he could just be his own box. Like
signed top goalie prospect who was goalie of the year in the KHL who won the championship. Check.
Exactly. Yeah. So two steps in the right direction, obviously, with Fedotov and now Torts. And things, again, are slowly starting to come together. The next step we have is the draft, free agency, which is kind of bundled into one because those are within a couple weeks of each other. So we'll see if there's any wheeling and dealing when it comes to the draft. The Flyers also have the fifth overall pick in the draft this year, which is in Montreal, I believe on July 7th and 8th. I'll have to double check that, but that does sound right. But, yeah, I mean, again, we've been patient. At times we've been impatient where it's like, what the hell? We've had an interim coach since December. How are you not looking for anyone? And we kind of both said this where, like, I think Fletcher as a GM has to play his cards close to his chest when it comes to this type of thing where he doesn't want to let anything out of the box that's too big. So it was kind of good where it was like we were kind of kept in the dark and it was that ignorance is bliss sort of thing where you saw, all right, the Flyers interviewed so-and-so, then they interviewed so-and-so, and then it's like, all right, we have second-round interviews with so-and-so, and then it's like, well, who are these guys? And then it's like they've narrowed it down to three guys, and then...
And then Weeksy dropped the clip, and you were like, and it wasn't even final yet. You're like, I've heard. It's like, oh, it's official.
Oh, I mean, if Weeksy chimes in from wherever he's at, it's gonna be true. So, but yeah, I mean, it's exciting, and again, the Flyers, they need this. They need... Just again, they needed a change, and we just hope again. And I'm confident that Torts can be this change that this team needs to at least again get them back on the right track and back into the playoffs at least, or at least to just make an effort. Like
be competitive, be fun to watch again.
Exactly.
Like if the Flyers just miss the playoffs next year, or even if they don't miss the playoffs, but if they're at least competitive every night and they're enjoyable to watch again.
Yeah,
I will be happy.
Give us some.
That's a stepping stone.
We'll ask for at least a bubble team at this point.
Yeah, like at least be a wild. I'm not going to ask you to win the division, but at least maybe be a wild card.
Yeah, be in the mix when it's down the stretch for playoffs. Don't be out of it by Thanksgiving, because
like they were this year.
Then we have to go 3/4 of the season without meaningful hockey already. Like that's just awful. So, but. What is not awful, as we segue into our next topic, Dave, as I itch my eye here, sorry, my allergies are acting up a little bit today. The Stanley Cup Final has been nothing short of entertaining. We, again, for the umpteenth time that I've said it already tonight, we have Game 4 of the Lightning and the Avs in Tampa Bay. The series is 2-1 in favor of Colorado, with the Lightning aiming to tie it up at 2-2 tonight. We'll rewind here back to, I guess, game two, before we go to game three. Just an absolute, again, excuse my language, as they say, shit pumping by the Avalanche. A 7-0 victory in game two in Colorado, the second largest margin of victory in Stanley Cup final history.
And then game three, Colorado, they beat. It's 6-2 win, because I don't think we haven't done an episode since the Cup final started.
No.
So
game one was entertaining. Game one was an overtime game, 4-3 to the Avalanche, pretty back and forth. And then again, the Avs pull it out in overtime, 4-3. Game two, no contest, as they say.
Yeah, a touchdown and extra point were scored.
Yes, a 7-0 victory. The Lightning had only 16 shots on goal the entire game. So, I mean, the Avalanche had almost as many goals as the Lightning had shots.
Mm-hmm.
Just about half. So, yikes. But again, like I said, the second largest margin of victory in Stanley Cup final history. I think it was the 80s with the Red Wings. I forget the stat they flashed on the screen at the end of the game. But... yeah, I mean, it was 3-0 in the first period. I remember I was watching the first period at my apartment, and then I watched the rest of the game at a friend's house Saturday night. But it was 3-0 the first period, and when it was 3-0, obviously the Avs had 3 goals. The Lightning didn't even have 3 shots on goal at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it was just absolute domination by the Avs. But Dave, we'll move on unless you have any thoughts on game two. We'll move on to game three.
Now, game two, I caught the highlights because Saturday night I was at the Union game with my lovely bride for her birthday, one of her birthday presents. So I was getting the score updates on my phone, and I'm like, what in the hell?
Yeah, you didn't miss anything. It was literally all Avs.
I mean, I'm rooting for the Avs, so I kind of wanted to watch it. But like, we got home in time to catch the end of the game and view the highlights, so that was great. I mean, the first two games out in Denver were electric. Our good friend, the pod and resident Avalanche fan, Jason Coley, assistant captain of Dump and Change, Ice Hockey Club, not a big deal. he actually flew out to Denver and was in attendance for game one. So he got to watch his team win a game in the Stanley Cup final in person. Something us Flyers fans cannot say. Recently, my generation, you know, in 2010, I couldn't afford to go to a Cup final game. So never done that before, but he got to do it. So that was hearing him talk about that experience was really great. I know his pocketbook's hurting for it a little bit. But then, yeah, game two was just, I knew this was going to be a great series, but I didn't think I knew both teams were the best the league has to offer. But I didn't think either team would just pump the other team like we saw on Saturday night. And then even Monday night with Tampa's 6-2 win over the Avalanche, you know, the Avs technically scored first twice. One goal was taken away by Coach's challenge. And then after that, they scored on the power play. And you thought, okay, here we go. And then Tampa, turned on the switch and played a much better game. And now it's a 2-1 series. And maybe put some doubt in Avalanche fans and people rooting for the Avs because the Bolts were down 2-0 to the Rangers before they reverse swept them, then won the next four in a row. Darcy Kuemper needs to be better than what he was in game three on Monday. I wouldn't be surprised if Francouz gets the start tonight in net, but also Kuemper should get the start in net tonight too. You never know.
I think Kuemper is starting.
Yeah. I mean, he's been their starter. So if he is starting, that makes sense.
I saw a tweet earlier that he was in the starter's net for morning skate. So I'm assuming that means that he's starting.
Yeah.
And then also other lineup news.
Kadri's back.
Kadri is back. And Kucherov is also expected to play after leaving game three with 6 minutes remaining in the third period. So I guess we can kind of touch on that too, because in game two, it was 6-0 with about a minute or so left in the game. Colorado puts out their first power play unit and they score, make it 7-0. So then John Cooper wanted a little bit of revenge in the same aspect where I think it was 5-2 or 6-2. I think it was already 6-2. Yeah, it was already 6-2. But the Tampa Bay got a late power play in the game. Obviously, Kucherov got hurt. So, and then the whole thing with Corey Perry and JT Compher happened. I mean, that was just pretty brutal. The worm being the worm, as they call him. So,
I mean, he should have been fined for that at least. That's clearly intent. Corey Perry is doing that. I mean, I love Corey Perry. If he was a Philadelphia Flyer, I would love him. But he's a worm, and he's a piece of shit. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he knew when he was getting up, he was putting all the pressure on JT Compher's ankle. That's intent to injure. I don't know if you can't be more blatantly clear than that. But it's, you know, this series has gotten storylines. You've had a great overtime game. You've had two back-to-back games where the other team kicked the other team's ass. And now game four is pivotal. I mean, tonight's game is absolutely pivotal. If the Avs win, they can win and hoist Lord Stanley's Cup Friday night in home ice at Ball Arena in Denver. And if Tampa wins, it's a best of three.
Yeah, I think, again, I would say that it's a huge game. Obviously, it's a huge game for both teams, but on the Avalanche side, like you said, they can put the stranglehold on the series tonight. If they win, make it a 3-1 series going back home. But, and they also, I mean, again, they stymie any momentum that the Lightning get because this is a team where we've seen it. I mean, all playoffs this season, they've been bad in game ones. But again, they're, like I've said before, I'm pretty sure I mentioned this a few weeks back, where Tampa Bay is almost like Taskmaster from Black Widow and from the Marvel comics, where the more that you interact with them, the more that they are able to adjust, and then they kind of either use your moves against you, or they just kind of figure out those loopholes in your game to exploit you and to make you make mistakes, or just, again, to kind of overwhelm you. And they kind of, again, they've made those adjustments after losing the first two games, and they won a statement game and a must win in game three. So, but I mean, the key, again, I think it was going to come down to goaltending, and it seems like, I don't know how the hell Vasilevsky hasn't gotten pulled in any of these games, but I mean, you really have to go with, like, I think I was listening to Spittin' Chicklets earlier, and I guess he's said that, like, he wants to be able to mentally push through these times without getting pulled. So
I was just going to bring up that exact same point.
So, like, John Cooper is obviously going to listen to his two-time Stanley Cup winning goaltender, who's obviously one of the best goaltenders, if not one, the best. Well, he is the best goaltender in the league at this point, I'd say.
I think he's the best goalie in the world right now.
Yeah, but so now I understand why after hearing that quote today. But I think it's going to be, I mean, aside from the seven, I don't know. It's almost kind of like the Oilers series, where in the Battle of Alberta, where every game was either a blowout or it was close, where we saw a close game, game one, and then the last two games have been blowouts. So it's kind of a coin toss. But again, as a fan, it's nice to at least kind of have a series now where it can either be tied or it can be 3-1 at the end of tonight. So it's going to be exciting. Obviously, we'll try and finish up our episode before the game starts so that we can both tune in on ABC, which is nice. I don't know if we said this last time, but again, I heard this from Chicklets and from Missing Curfew, where this is the first time in Stanley Cup final history that it is being broadcast on non-paid television, which means that every single person who owns a TV in the United States has access to watch the Stanley Cup final, as ABC is just a basic cable channel. So viewership has been skyrocketing, which is great for the sport. And there's, again, it's a smart move by the NHL to not have any of the other sports on ABC. Obviously, the NBA final was on there. That's over. That was over almost 2 weeks ago now. And all eyes are on hockey, which is, I mean, you love to see it, as I always say.
Exactly. So, Matt, before we move on to our Around the League segment, who do you have winning this series? Who is your cup winner?
I want the Avalanche. See, that's the thing, is like, you know, Tampa's not going to go down easily. So my heart is saying Avs in six, but I think I'm going to go Avs in seven.
So I officially, too, am of course, rooting for the Avalanche. I picked them in Brennan and I's bracket, which I need to win because I am trailing by, I think, 2 or 3 points.
Uh-oh.
So I need to win the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the Avs in six. But I really think if they win tonight, I think they win Friday night. It could be over in five. But I'm going to stick with my prediction, and I'm going to say Avs in six. Whether that's them losing tonight or winning tonight and then losing Friday. I think they do get it done, though. And, Avs in six. I really hope. I mean, if Tampa wins, cool. Like, that is a dynasty. 3 years in a row in the salary cap era, that is awesome. If the Avalanche win, you've got Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, Mika Rantanen, Gabriel Landeskog, this elite talent, winning their first cup, and they could be a new dynasty. So it's all around. It's good for the sport.
Definitely. But hopefully it could be, again, like you said, on Friday night, we could have a trophy, obviously the Stanley Cup being handed out. But speaking of trophies, another segue here, we'll move on to our next topic. Last night was the NHL Awards. I did not watch them. Because
neither did I.
I kind of was not interested. But And I mean, there really weren't any surprises. You kind of knew who was going to win what, and they had been coming out with the not to discredit the players, but they had been coming out with the more minor ones throughout the playoffs. So those were already announced. We did touch on those, but these last, I think, what, four or five were announced?
The big ones
last night. Yeah, the big ones last night. So, let me open this article quick. And I will give you the results. So, we'll start off, obviously, I'll just run them down here, Dave, and then if you want to just give your thoughts on each one, that'll do, just for time's sake. The Hart Trophy, the league MVP, was awarded to Austin Matthews. No surprise there. Matthews with probably the best season of his career, 60 goals. Sadly, the Maple Leafs choked again in the first round, but Matthews just with an unreal season individually, and the ceiling for him does not really exist at this point. He's electric, and he's got a great mustache, and the hair, I don't know what's going on with the hair.
He's fully embraced the receding hairline.
Yeah, but I dig it. And then also he was cool in his interview. They asked him about his dress, his fit, as they say, as the kids say these days, and he said, "Just want to let the chest breathe." So, because he had a couple of the buttons undone with the chest hair.
His nose isn't big enough to do the breathing for him.
True. But hell of a stash, hell of a hairstyle. Just a good-looking guy, honestly. Not going to lie. So, but on top of the Hart Trophy, he also won the Ted Lindsay Award, which is the most outstanding player as voted on by the NHL Players Association. So, Matthews going home with two trophies last night, and Keenan Thompson, I don't know if you saw this, Dave, with an absolute just
roasted him.
Put the Leafs in a body bag at the end of the show and said, "It's great to see Toronto win something in June." So Keenan Thompson again from the clouds absolutely just bodies the Maple Leafs and their franchise and their fans. But Matthews, congrats on those two trophies. And then moving on to the Vezina, the best goalie as voted on by the NHL general managers, went to the New York Rangers' own Igor Shesterkin. Shesterkin, obviously, kind of with his coming out party, so to speak, this past season, where the Rangers were hot for a good part of the regular season, made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Final, obviously lost in Tampa, but Shesterkin, the heir to the throne, as they're calling him, after Lundqvist retired. So they have a great goalie down the road here, a lot of great talent in the net for New York. And then moving on to the Calder Trophy, I almost called it the Calder Cup, but that's the AHL. So the Calder Trophy, if you don't know, is basically just the Rookie of the Year, and that went to defenseman Moritz Seider for the Red Wings. And, I mean, the Red Wings, I think, are a team to be on the lookout for this next season.
Oh, yeah, they're up. They could easily make the playoffs next year.
So they've kind of come back quicker than people thought they were going to. So
Stevie Y, man.
Yep. I mean, Mo Seider. So Apple Cider, as they call him, or just Big Mo. So congrats to him on the Calder for Rookie of the Year. And then the Norris Trophy, the top defenseman. Pretty easy to guess this one. Cale Makar of the Colorado Avalanche. Kid's unreal. Basically called, he's been called the second coming of Bobby Orr.
By Wayne Gretzky, not a big deal.
Yeah, could win the Conn Smythe if the Avs win the Cup. Could win the Conn Smythe if the Tampa Bay Lightning win the Cup, which has only happened a couple other times in NHL history. So, Makar, no surprise for the Norris there. The Art Ross Trophy with the most points in the regular season. The Edmonton Oilers' own Connor McDavid. No surprise there again. McDavid with another very good season. Got the Oilers to the conference finals for the first time in 16 years. They lost, obviously, to Colorado. Got swept, sadly. So congrats to McDavid there. Hopefully you get him next time in the postseason. The Rocket Richard Trophy, the most goals in the regular season, again, went to Austin Matthews. 60-plus goals. I think he had 62 total.
That sounds about right.
Let me see if I have this article. Oh, excuse me. 60 goals. Yeah. So, but he was also the first Leaf to win the Hart Trophy since Ted Kennedy in 1955 and Babe Pratt, don't even know who that is, in 1944, and also the first Leaf ever to win the Ted Lindsay Award. So in some good company there with fellow Leafs from the past. But back to the awards, the last one that they gave out last night with defensive best defensive forward. Oh, wait, we already talked about this one. The Selke went to Patrice Bergeron from the Bruins. And I'll run through these other ones quick. The Masterton Trophy to Carey Price. The Lady Bing to Kyle Connor. The William M. Jennings Trophy, which again is the goalies with the minimum of the goals against average combined. Frederick Anderson and Antti Raanta from the Hurricanes. The King Clancy Award, P.K. Subban. Jack Adams to Daryl Sutter. The Mark Messier Leadership Award to Anze Kopitar. And the Willie O'Ree Community Award, which is awarded to an individual who uses hockey as a platform to teach teamwork, humility, and respect, and to build inclusive communities, to Noel Acton from Baltimore. So huge congrats to all these players and people who won these awards, the best of the best. And just, I mean, again, the NHL has no shortage of talent this time. Like, the NHL has no shortage of talent right now and will have no shortage of talent for the foreseeable future.
Precisely. I mean, all the winners rightfully deserved. Everyone who I thought was going to win pretty much won. So we can save time. We can move right along. You know, I don't really have anything to say. You know, I'm happy. Maybe, yeah, should McDavid won, but the Hart Trophy is the MVP of their personal team, and he had to give that to Matthews for what he did this year. So all in all, and maybe you could have argued Trevor Zegras over Moritz Seider for Calder, but Seider was just, he's electric. Like, he's a franchise-altering defenseman. Like, I think he might be, in a couple years, he might be the same skill level as Cale Makar. Maybe Makar right now, I think, is the best defenseman in the world. But I think Seider could reach that same, like, level of, like, Hedman, Yossi, Makar level. So.
Yeah.
No complaints from me.
I was going to say, no complaints and also really no surprises here. So, again, congrats to all the award winners that were announced last night and also prior to last night. But we move on now to pretty much our last topic, but again, multiple topics within the topic, subtopics, as we'll call it. The coaching carousel has kind of started to whittle itself down in the past couple weeks or so. Obviously, again, we talked about the Flyers hiring Torts last week, and actually, just today, earlier today, the Dallas Stars found their new bench boss in Peter DeBoer. He was hired to replace Rick Bowness, who resigned on May 20th after three seasons with the Stars. DeBoer was quoted earlier today saying, quote, "I want to win a Stanley Cup. I've been to two finals and five conference finals in the last 10 years. When you get that close, that's your only motivation. Dallas wasn't the only team I interviewed with. I wanted to make sure that wherever I chose to go next, that the only criteria for me was that I was working with good people and that I had a chance to win a Stanley Cup, that we weren't in a rebuilding situation." DeBoer coached the previous three seasons with the Vegas Golden Knights before being fired back on May 16th, with the Knights finishing 3 points behind the Preds for the second wild card in the Stanley Cup playoffs from the Western Conference, again missing the postseasons for the first time in their history, in their five-year history. So DeBoer, obviously, again, going to a team like Dallas. Dallas made it to Game 7 of the first round, losing to the Flames in overtime. So Dallas, I mean, I think one of the older teams in the league age-wise. And they have some good talent. Obviously, they have guys like Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, Miro Heiskanen, Klingberg, Joe Pavelski. Jake Ottinger is an emerging goaltending star. Had an unreal series against the Flames. Sadly, again, they lost. But some good talent on Dallas. DeBoer, some good coaching experience in his time in Vegas. Also the Devils and also the Sharks in the past. So a good hire, I think. But again, we've seen the talent that Vegas has. I'm thinking he's still with the Knights. But Dallas, we've seen the talent that Dallas has. And it's tough to call them a contender nowadays, I think, Dave. What do you think?
I think Dallas, I don't think they're a contender, but they're on their way to being one. I'm just not the biggest fan of Pete DeBoer. You kind of heard some not so great things about how he manages his locker room and his players. And yeah, he's kind of sort of successful. I just don't think he's really that good of an NHL coach, to be honest. I mean, good for Dallas. I mean, I think he's better than Rick Bowness. But I'm just not sure if he's the guy. But he's their guy. So buckle up, Stars fans.
Well said. And then on the flip side of where DeBoer was before the Stars, we go to the Vegas Golden Knights, who had hired Bruce Cassidy back on the 14th, just a few days ago, as their new head coach. Cassidy, again, was a longtime Bruins coach who was surprisingly let go by the team in early June, and they again replaced the fired Peter DeBoer. Cassidy was quoted saying, "I'm excited to join an organization that shares my commitment to winning and can't wait to get to work with the talent that has been assembled in Vegas. It's been impressive to watch the city embrace the Golden Knights from afar, and my family and I look forward to becoming a part of that." Cassidy was expected to be a hot commodity on the NHL job market, and that proved to be the case. His agreement with the Golden Knights came just over a week after his June 6th firing by Boston. All this according to ESPN. There's no author here, so just I'm going to credit ESPN. Oh, here we go. Information from ESPN's Greg Wyszynski was used in this report. So, Greg, thank you for this information. Again, as we know, the Vegas Golden Knights did miss the playoffs for the first time in their five-year history. This season, still technically going on. But Cassidy, with a pretty good track record with the Bruins, he's obviously gotten them to a couple. He got them to the Cup final when they lost against the Blues. And then, I mean, again, Boston is just one of those teams that's always in the mix somehow. So he had no shortage of talent there. There were rumors that some of the players didn't really like playing for him. But again, he kind of, I feel like, got stabbed in the back a little bit because Don Sweeney had said just, 2 weeks beforehand that his job was safe and then cans him right after that. So Cassidy, again, a little bit of a cheap shot from the Bruins as he was let go after being told that he was safe, but he has found a new home in the desert with the Vegas Golden Knights.
I like this hire for Vegas. I think Cassidy's a good coach. He was on my list. You know, if it's not Torts, if it's not Tortorella, if it's not Trotz, Torts, you go try and get Cassidy. I think he's a really good hire for Vegas. I think Vegas will, you know, while they're player acquisition and team management skills remain questionable from ownership standpoint. You know, I think he's going to be a good coach where I think you'll see Vegas be, I think he'll be good for Jack Eichel and I think he'll be good for Vegas overall. And you'll see that Vegas still be a contender next year with Cassidy at the helm.
Well said. And then going from Vegas up to Winnipeg, Vegas to Florida. That's what I was saying. Thinking of the ex-Winnipeg Jets head coach, Paul Maurice, was named the new head coach of the Florida Panthers earlier today as well, replacing interim head coach Andrew Brunette. Kind of, again, got little, they did him a little dirty there, kind of left him.
A little?
I mean, pretty dirty.
A lot dirty.
Yeah, hung him out to dry, as they say. But Paul Maurice stepped down from the Winnipeg Jets after 29 games this season, ending a 9-year stint with the franchise. He's coached a total of 1,685 regular season NHL games, which is the fourth most in NHL history, and his seventh in career wins with 775. He previously coached the Jets, the Carolina Hurricanes, the Hartford Whalers, and Toronto Maple Leafs. But according to a source, his experience was a key factor in his hiring to Florida. While other coaching candidates were rumored, the Panthers zeroed in on Maurice when there was mutual interest, vetting him on everything from his player management to his on-ice tactics. Poor Andrew Brunette only got, he got most of a season after Joel Quenneville was resigned after the whole Blackhawks thing came out. And he was on track to receive a contract extension heading into the playoffs. Again, he led the Panthers to the franchise's first President's Trophy as the league's top team of the regular season, but then they did get eliminated by the Tampa Bay Lightning in the second round, swept with just 3 goals in the entire series. So Brunette doesn't seem like he'll be with the Panthers this next season, but the new guy, Paul Maurice, again, with a good track record. I think this is a good hiring for Florida, but again, Florida kind of has their own problems to deal with on the ice.
Yeah, I don't get this move by Florida. You literally are removing the coach who was a finalist for head coach of the year. And you're replacing him with a guy who's kind of been mediocre everywhere he's gone. And Paul Maurice really isn't a winner. You know, he has teams where, yeah, every couple of years they go on a long playoff run or go on a run where they're really good in the regular season, but then they don't win when it matters. But I think Brunette, in a big part, he got out-coached in the playoffs by John Cooper, and I think that maybe pissed off Florida management. But, like, give the guy at least a full season. Like, he took your team to the President's Trophy, and he was a Coach of the Year finalist. You should at least give him an extension for 1 or 2 more years to see what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they were like, sorry, yeet, see you, Brunette. And now they hired Peter DeBoer. Peter DeBoer seems like a great guy. Just, I don't know how good of a coach he is. And again, he's part of the same coaching, like, recycled universe. Like,
are you thinking of Maurice, not DeBoer?
Oh, yeah, Paul Maurice, not DeBoer. I mean,
it is confusing, though, because, like you said, they just recycle coaches nowadays.
Well, like, I also think of, like, Paul Maurice and Peter DeBoer to me are two very similar coaches, just DeBoer's had more success because he's coached better teams.
Mm.
I mean, they're both very defensive forward-minded. They depend on their goalies a lot, and they're stubborn.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if Maurice is the right hire for the Panthers. He didn't really get along with his high-end talent in Winnipeg, and there's a lot of high-end talent in Florida. So I don't get this move by the Panthers whatsoever. But you know what? I love it when they fail because the Panthers are a joke of a franchise. So
Sorry, Claude.
No, Claude did this to himself.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Precisely. We're not going to get into it. We already got into it a couple weeks ago.
But yeah, that's
congratulations.
Fine.
You played yourself. You played yourself, Florida. Now live with it. I mean, I could totally eat crow. And we could be a year from now, and Florida could have, you know, made the second round of the playoffs again, and they looked good. They just lost to a better team, or they went further. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, on June 22nd, 2022, I think Paul Maurice is a terrible hire by the Panthers.
Very well said. But with one interim coach being given the boot, another one was given a contract extension and will now be the head coach, with the Edmonton Oilers signing former interim coach Jay Woodcroft to a 3-year contract extension through the 2024-25 season. That was announced just yesterday that they had signed him to the extension. The Oilers did qualify for the playoffs, obviously. They made it to the conference finals. They finished the regular season with 104 points, second in the Pacific Division. Again, made it to the conference finals for the first time in 16 years. And Woodcroft, again, seemed to prove himself with that, obviously getting them back on track after Dave Tippett was fired on February 10th. So got them back on track, got them to the conference finals with just a little help from Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
Just a little bit.
I mean, he seems to be kind of if it ain't broke, don't fix it type of situation for now. He got the extension. He's going to make some good money. He's with a good team, hopefully an up-and-coming team in the Oilers with guys that they have that have found their stride, so to speak, if they can make the right moves and getting a goalie and also getting a little bit more offensive depth, defensive depth. So they have some work to do, but Woodcroft is a guy who seems to be the guy for the time being for the Oilers. So I think it's a good hire, and we'll see if they can kind of live up to the hype from this past playoffs and reach for the sky again next season.
Yeah, I like this hire a lot for Edmonton. You just saw the way the team responded to Woodcroft taking over after Tippett got fired. You know, Tippett kind of, you know, he lost that room. Woodcroft came in, put in a more running gun offensive style to benefit Draisaitl and McDavid, and you know they went to the Western Conference Final. I think you're gonna see more of the same. Yeah, does Edmonton need to find a goalie? Yeah. Do they need to get more defensive depth? Yeah. But their offense is fine, so they build around their strength, and I think Woodcroft fits that strength very, very well.
Well said. And then, well, actually, kind of. Let's see. Yeah, so we'll end a little differently now. We do have to get back to our usual name a player segment, but we'll probably just kind of stick to this for now since the playoffs are winding down, and we'll kind of keep that just for once we go to 2 weeks, every 2 weeks, every other week, as I should say, not to confuse people. But that's pretty much it for now. Again, we'll be back probably next week with one of our last episodes for
the week. I will be in the Outer Banks on vacation.
So we won't be back next week. I lied. But yeah, I mean, it's good that, again, we catch everyone up for what's going on now. The game will start in the next 20 minutes here or so. But, Dave, I mean, that's all I've got for this time around. And I'll, again, as usual, hand you the reins to take us home.
Yeah, look for us to be back probably the week of 4th of July, potentially. Master and I will need to discuss our scheduling, but that will look like the next week we'll be back for a podcast. And by then, we will have a Stanley Cup champion to discuss. So that'll be fun. And of course, as always, please do make sure you check out our good buddies in the Podstreet Bullies. They released just an episode this Monday night in which they talked about the signing of John Tortorella as well. And it was excellent, excellent stuff. Please do check out the Podstreet Bullies as always. And with that, yeah, I've got nothing else to say. You know, I am almost through my work week. This time next week, I will be in the Outer Banks on vacation. As Mastro, as you, myself, Jacob Hunter Harrison, and Joshua Barber say, it's going to be a terrible week to be a beer. So I am very excited. But with that, everyone, enjoy the Cup Final. Go Avs, go. And good night and good hockey.